already know the address.
66 Harborview Road.
Hello, hello, and welcome to 66 Harborview Road, a podcast dedicated to ABC's General Hospital. I'm your host, Caitlin, and in today's episode, we are discussing the week of March 11th through the 15th. So it's finally coming to light that Marshall was misdiagnosed. Turns out this whole time, Kevin had the information. I don't know how I feel about this storyline. I didn't necessarily want to see Marshall confront this doctor. I just wanted him to get answers. Maybe the writers were trying to wrap this up in some way. We were talking about it for so long. Was he misdiagnosed? Who did it? Why did they do it? Also, I still want to know, what is Marshall's ties to any kind of mob happenings? I still want to know what happened between him and the Novaks. I do kind of wish they brought Trina in on this situation. I don't want her to just be thinking about Spencer the whole time. I think she could offer a lot of support to Marshall. Oh, and speaking of support, why would Selena Wu tell Marshall and Curtis that Sunny hired Jason to shoot Curtis? That is a stretch, to say the least, and causing friction at the most. Selena should really be counting herself lucky, because if the target was Sunny, Jason could have nudged the guy's elbow the other way to hit Selena and not cared. So, okay, let's just get into Jason. Happy he's back, not sure about where this story is going. So many twists. So he's up on the roof. Of course, he doesn't let Sunny get hurt, but now Dante is hurt. Not shot by Jason, but shot by the other guy who Jason is calling Hamish. So the first place Jason goes is Carly's. That's what he knows as home. I mean, even before we just knew it as Carly's, it was Carly and Sunny's before that for many years. I thought they played the reunion perfectly. I thought it was very realistic as to how that conversation would have gone. It was quick. It was emotional. When Jagger and Anna were at Carly's door, the way Carly was, man, it was perfect. It was nostalgic. I loved every second of Carly in those scenes. And I thought it was very big of Carly to meet with Sunny and talk about it. Kind of thought it was rude of Sunny to find out this information and not tell Carly. Sure, Carly is not related to Dante, but she's known him for a long time. They were in each other's families for a long time. I mean, they still kind of are. I didn't like that part. I also don't like Sunny thinking that Jason's, like, doing all this on purpose. Sir, you were in Nixon Falls for a year and thought your name was Mike. So why can't you think something happened to Jason? I mean, as we see, nothing happened. He has all of his memories as Jason Morgan. So, but still, I just didn't like Sunny thinking poorly of Jason. Didn't make sense to me. I mean, Sunny's in a place where he cannot trust a single person. And then he's telling Ava, you're the only one I can trust. And then kind of acting sweet on her. Sunny does this all the time. And it is so annoying. Sunny, just take a step back and get your house in order. Like, this is crazy. So Jason escapes from Carly's. There is a police chase. They find him on the footbridge. He jumps in the water and swims to the Quartermain boathouse. So I was very curious what was going to happen after this. And when Danny walked in and almost immediately turned back around, that surprised me. You open a door and your father, who's been gone for 2 years, more than 2 years, and you were not even sure if he was alive or dead. Your grandmother declared him dead. You open a door and he's sitting right there. I don't know if I would turn around and run away. I would be like, where have you been? What is going on right now? So Danny goes to get Michael, which I was thrilled about because I have been waiting for some Jason and Michael more intimate scenes. When Michael was a different actor as a child, I feel like they were very close. And then they brought on this adult Michael who's great, but they made him more like businessy and it doesn't seem like he's as close with Jason as he used to be. So I really enjoyed those scenes together. Jason telling him, I was basically kidnapped. I'm working as a mercenary, but because there's leverage. And I rewatched this scene twice. So Jason chose his words very carefully. And he said, "When I woke up, I was in a room with no windows, chained to a table, and a man came in and, you know, blah, blah, blah." So he didn't say it was dark in the room. He didn't say that he didn't know who the man was. Although I'm very curious if Jason Morgan knows who Jagger is, or if that's the leverage that he's using. I didn't watch the storyline in the 90s when Jason Quartermain and Jagger, that guy like died on the island or something, and then somebody was blackmailing them about it. I don't remember the whole thing. But I'm curious if that's the blackmail that he has. Wouldn't that be something? That was such a plot twist. I mean, I should have seen it coming, because the way Jagger was talking to Scott Baldwin when they were at Karen's grave gave off villain vibes there. Like, he is so against Sonny. And it's like another one of those guys who's blinded for Sonny's mob activities, which, yes, they're not great. Sonny's not even that great right now. But the point being, he has one of those like tunnel vision targets, like Sonny, Sonny, Sonny. Honestly, we should be more worried about Cyrus right now. He has his radio show. When he was in the hospital, Amy Driscoll and another nurse were walking down the hall, and the other girl was like, "Oh, I kind of like his radio show." Girl, what? Why are you listening? First off, why are you listening to a radio show hosted by a man who held two people hostage? Like, none of that is appealing to me to want to listen to that person. I don't know. Whatever. It's a soap opera. One of those suspended, you know, disbeliefs or whatever. But man, when they wheeled Heather Weber in that hospital and she had her face off with Cyrus with a bone saw, that was so great. That scene was so perfect to me. And then Laura coming in, smacking her on the head, perfect. So now we're going with, she has, I think they called it metallosis, where some kind of cobalt is leaking into Heather Weber, and that's why she's murdering people. It just kind of, it's reminiscent of Franco's brain tumor. And I don't know what to expect from here. I mean, if they're bringing Heather Weber back in some capacity, that's kind of cool. But how will that go? Will Esme come back? Is Ace going to be more involved? Are we waiting for Nicholas to get out of jail until, I guess, the writers figure out what to do with that character? Ace was such a huge plot point that is now sort of fading into the background. So I'm curious if that's going to keep up. Like, will Cyrus try to take the baby? Will Heather Weber try to take the baby? Will Esme come back and try to take Ace? I guess we'll see what happens with Heather after the surgery. If the surgery ends up killing Heather Weber for some reason, if they want to get rid of Heather all completely, Laura advising her to do the surgery, is that going to cause some really serious guilt on Laura? Because I don't want any of that. Although her husband being a therapist might be helpful. So as we're in the hospital, we have tons of visitors for Dante. And a lot of people's attitude is, if Jason is here in Port Charles, wanted by police, clearly he did something wrong. And why hasn't he talked to anyone? Why hasn't he told anyone? Really accusatory. 5 years ago, they immediately would have thought something's happened. Someone's controlling him. Or they would have had a lot more theories. And Sam getting mad at Carly for not having more details. Like, it's a high-stress situation for everybody. But let's not go around pointing fingers, trying to place blame. Sam went as far as to asking Sonny to off this person when he figures out who's in charge. Well, good news, Sam. Jason shot that guy twice, I think. Revenge has been taken. Sonny is also feeling guilty about this. He talks to Lois about it when she brings him over some food. And as much as Sonny can say it, it's not going to faze him when Dante wakes back up. Sonny shot his own wife while she was giving birth to his child. His kids have been kidnapped multiple times. Michael was in a coma. Dante's been shot multiple times. None of this at the end of the day matters to Sonny, or it's just that he's in a position now that he cannot step down from the mob. They talk about all the time how it would leave a crime vacuum in Port Charles if there was no Sonny to sort of level things out. But is it time for Sonny to find a successor? I don't know. Please let it be Morgan. I am literally dying for that. I don't know why. Ever since Morgan was a character, I just thought he should run things. I think it would be cool. It would be a wild story. One, how he got back, and two, all the family that's connected to him, how much things have changed. His parents were married when he died, so Sonny will have to explain that divorce to him. Oh, I got bonked on the head, thought I was a different person, fell in love with another woman, remembered who I was, came back to your mom, but instead I went for the other woman because I couldn't help it. Whatever he says. Oh, and I can't forget to mention the Carly and Drew breakup came out of nowhere. I was so surprised. Drew has been going through some changes recently, but to come over and say, your best friend is alive, so for that reason, I'm out. I guess he just didn't want to hang on and see what would happen, but dude, that means you were not that into Carly to begin with, in my opinion. But hey, if it is freeing you up for Jordan, I'm okay with that too. I know the whole audience saw that chemistry in the gym between Drew and Jordan. Sparks were flying. And I'm for it. We haven't had a Jordan forward storyline in a while. And she's not really part of the Ashford family, so let's get some family history of her own. It's about time. Oh, and on the subject of breakups, Nina, what the heck, proving over and over again that she is just a stunted child. How is she going to go to Dex's apartment looking for information on Sonny and then telling Jocelyn that he's going to break up with her? Like, what? Buffoonery. Pure buffoonery. Do I want Joss and Dex together? I could take them or leave them alone as a couple. I like Jocelyn separate. I am so curious to see where her story is going to go. Because right now she is very much following in the steps of her mother. But she also wants to become a doctor. And I really want to see her go that route. I really do. I think she would be a great addition to the hospital. I wonder what study of medicine she'll go into. Maybe just general surgery so she can be the ER doctor all times in case any one of her family members is injured. I would like to see her actually go into infectious diseases with Finn. Those storylines to me are always fun. The big flu epidemic when Luke brought that monkey home for Lulu. The toxic spheres. Sam's toxoplasmosis. I just think those kinds of storylines are fun. Finn's a fun character. I think his family is fun. They bring a certain lightheartedness to the show that I really appreciate, even though Gregory is dying. I really don't want him to, but if that's the way the story has to go, it'll be so emotional. Tears everywhere, like the whole cast. I mean, we could make this like one big, huge umbrella storyline where like everyone is paying tribute to Gregory in their own way. Or maybe we'll go the soapy route and he was also misdiagnosed. All these doctors just handing out misdiagnoses. We should find out where these doctors are going to school. That's for sure. Well, I am just loving GH lately. I am so excited for every episode. I am so glad to be back in this space where GH is really exciting again. As always, you can find me on Instagram at 66 Harborview Road, TikTok at 66 _ Harborview Road, and X at 66_View. From the Quartermain Foyer, I bid you a great week.